the Hostile Zone, hosted by the infamous and dangerous and much lied about Eric A. Sinani. This is where public corruption, abuse of power, a waste and misuse of public dollars, and ultimately using your personal position for gaining power and influence over others is met with extreme hostility. Otherwise, everyone else is welcome. Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
That's right, right here, live on BBS Talk Radio and syndication around the globe, 50 countries and all 50 states, the Hostile Zone. Eric A. Sinani, accompanied by on-air vocalist Miss Bianca C, S-E-A, like the ocean.
Bianca C, that's me. Hello.
Hello. How are you today, Miss Bianca?
I'm doing fabulous.
Haven't seen you in a minute because we only filmed a little bit ago.
It feels like a long time.
Right? So I don't want to, I guess I'll ask how your weekend went, even though I know already since we've already been on our second show today.
Yeah, I've been like popping some bottles, as they say, having some mimosas with pineapple.
With pineapple. Right? We had a whole mimosa discussion on that.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't have R-Dub still with us today. He is actually on remote chat, but he is not on air. Shout out R-Dub. But in the house, we have the infamous and sassy, yet stylish, and some say sexy, Mr. J-Vo. How are you today?
Magatiska.
How are you?
Animated.
I can tell. I like it. You're a model and a voiceover person, so go with it.
Oh, I think I only have two voices in my pocket, and they're sister voices.
It was a good pocket, though.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Even though we haven't seen you since the last filming, yet a few minutes before.
Since then, I'm a little bloated because I drink some soda. I'm not supposed to do that.
Uh-oh.
That's the only change.
I had to eat a quick sandwich in the green room before Kenny ate it because Kenny is kind of in and out. But I did enjoy a sandwich. And we also have the half enforcer on set, elephant in the room, a.k.a. Tiny. But apparently somebody else wants to call you Turtle. Is your new name? I don't know. Sure. But we'll take a vote on that. Tiny, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. How did you have a good weekend?
Very excellent.
Even though you were here for the shooting before, but hey, we got to be fresh. I keep it fresh on the show.
I love it. I love the energy, though.
The energy, right? Gotta love the energy. So, folks, we're here with you every week on BBS Talk Radio, every Monday, live, coming at you live every Monday. Mm-hmm. We have our other show aired tonight right after this on one of the Angel Fire Network, multiple networks, but the KKTC 99.9 FM. That'll come on at 9 p.m. Mountain Time, I think, or Mountain Time, Western, whatever. And BBS Talk Radio, we're on every Monday live at this time. But no matter where you're coming from, we thank you. Every show in the previous, whether it be this network or one of the sister networks we're working with, is available with syndication in every podcast platform there is.
That is so awesome.
We are everywhere with 5 stars. I'm going to take the pen out of my hand so you see 5 stars. If you're watching on TV, then you're seeing us on your television or you're listening on the radio. We're on iHeart. We're on TuneIn and all the other stations as well. We're everywhere. And you'll be able to get all the past episodes on the podcast platforms, as well as you can find us on every social media outlet. And it's streamed on there as well. We are not a podcast. We are a radio TV show. And on the screen here is the ticker. And you can get all the other contact information, but I'll give you the basic. The Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com. The Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com. Eric Sinani at bbstalkradio.com. Mm-hmm. Bianca C at BBS, what is it?
Radio.talkradio.com.
Right? Bianca C at bbstalkradio.com. And of course, Eric at ericandrewsinati.com. And then, Miss Bianca, if they want to text us live during the show, what is it?
It is 917-877-0171.
What is that again?
917 877 0171.
Very nice. Very nice.
That was nice, right?
All right. So here we are, yet another day.
Yes,
I am very much enjoying our time here on the Hostile Zone. How about the rest of the crew? You guys have a good time?
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm never bored, at least.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, I'm never bored.
I know R-Dub is probably listening somewhere. Tiny, you didn't say you're enjoying the show.
Oh, I'm definitely enjoying that.
See, the problem is Tiny's not allowed to have a microphone, folks, because Tiny rubs the microphone all over his body, apparently, because when everybody's on there, you always... But see, I don't know what you do over there. So
are you saying
he has
just
to actually lean into a microphone. He's not allowed to have one like everybody else. You're the reason we can't have nice things. That's all I got to say. Anyway, folks, thank
hurts.
You. I want to start off by saying we thank you. We would not be the success that we are. We would not have the numbers that we have. We would not have the ratings that we have. We would not have the following, et cetera, if you did not allow us in your home. On your phone, on your TV, wherever you enjoy the Hostile Zone, you are the true talent. We are just here. Without you, we have no purpose. So we thank you guys. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So here we are Monday. So much to talk about. So I don't even know where to begin. And we always end up in a C-hole. So R-Dub isn't here. So Jay Volk's job today is to make sure I don't end up in a C-hole. Will you handle that?
I'll do the best that I can.
And for those
that's
of you
I'm
that don't know what a C-hole is, it's a Sonati hole, because I love to talk. And I could go on and on and on, as I'm doing right now, wasting good time.
And Bianca C, don't forget the riff off of that.
Oh, absolutely.
And whatever somebody just
say,
did.
You know what?
Whatever somebody's doing over there is blowing up my ear. My earbud. Just so you know.
I'm like Bianca C. Like, my inspiration is half mermaid.
Mermaid.
So,
oh, right.
I'll just swim and save you. So, yeah.
I'm going to need that other one. It's going out. It's always going out. It's always
going
out.
Sure.
So, always tech. If you're on the Hostile Zone, folks, this is a tech issue. Always have my ear. This thing is charged and it's dying. So, we'll make the switch. But anyway, okay. Okay, wonderful. And so...
So, what's
we have so much to talk about. And I don't like to duplicate the shows. Just leave it there. I don't like to duplicate the shows, but they are different shows between the different networks. But we do talk about some of the same issues. So we'll go, we'll go with it. We'll start off. So did you know that the France has a historical vote on a constitutional amendment or constitutional, whatever they call it in France. We would call it here a constitutional amendment in our famous book here, the U.S. Constitution, which I keep a copy everywhere, and there's one on the wall on set here. So France has a historical vote on abortion. So now, unlike anywhere else, it is actually written and codified into their constitution for the right to have an abortion. I see Jay Vogue reaching for the mic there. What's up?
Now, is it written or... are they currently in motion to vote on it?
The vote is apparently went through. Historic vote to make. I guess that gathers. I don't know. That's the information I got. Maybe it changed since it was a couple hours ago. Maybe you want to look for that for me, somebody.
All right.
But I find that to be fascinatingly interesting.
Okay.
Because that has not occurred here in the United States. And as you know, we had Roe v. Wade, which was a landmark decision. And it was the decision based out of Wade County, Texas, actually. Wade County, Texas, where the woman was, which is not, that's not her regular name, is it? But Roe v. Wade, Roe is the name, but they use another name. But that she wanted to have an abortion. At that time, abortion was not legal. But it was decided by each state. So depending on what state you resided in, whether that state allowed you to have an abortion or not. So basically, people would maybe go into another state where it was legal, kind of like the marijuana situation. I guess that's a great way of putting it together to explain.
Okay.
They're not great in the sense of they're both great. I'm just saying. Similar to you go from one place to the next in one state, marijuana is legal state on a state level. And you go to the next state and it's not. You go to another state and only a certain amount is legal. You know, so depending on what you want to do, you had to go to the state to that where it's legal. With abortion, it was the same similar situation prior to Roe v. Wade. And you had to go to a state that it was legal, and it was not legal there. And the argument that was brought forth to the United States Supreme Court, and I've read the entire argument, and I'm not going to do that. I won't see-hole everybody on the show. But basically it was, well, it needs to be equal across the board. So somebody with money might be able to get an abortion because they can say, okay, it's not legal, let's say, in Texas, for instance, for that particular, you know, decision.
Right.
So, oh, I'll go to New Jersey. If you have money, you got on a plane and went to New Jersey. And, you know, just same thing with marijuana. It's legal in New Jersey. So you would go to New Jersey, you could smoke marijuana, and right. you'd be fine. And as long as you didn't take it back to your illegal state. So, but that would only apply to people that had the means to get there. And the socioeconomic status of everybody is different. So if you don't have the financial means, then that would be unfair. And that was the argument, essentially, with the Constitution, was everybody, we are one nation, and everybody should have equal access. That was the premise behind that. So that is interesting because now, and I never was somebody for, I make it very clear that I lean conservative. I went to Catholic school. I don't hide that from you. I tell you the truth. I have my opinion, but I also don't believe I belong in your bedroom. The government doesn't belong in your bedroom. I don't have a right to tell somebody else what to do with their personal stuff. And this is something we talked about on the other show prior to this.
Yeah,
a woman should have a right to make a decision on her body.
Right. My body, my choice. Right. I believe in that.
But then at the same time, you have to think, at what point does the viable fetus become a child, or it has a nervous system and it's going to feel and know, et cetera, you know? And then that is the question that's always been at hand here. Where is the time? When does life begin? When is the conception of life? Now, obviously in Catholic school, upbringing and whatever. And, you know, everybody knows from the show. If you're new to the show, then you'll realize I talk about my Catholic school upbringing, and it made me the man that I am today, being loving, caring. It made me organized. It made me a follow-through person, disciplined. It hasn't changed, and it gave me a moral compass.
Okay.
But for me, that's just a guide, you know. So I'm not going to shove down your throat right to life, whatever. I think you, as a female, have the choice to make what you want to do.
Right.
I don't want to kill a child in the body.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But then we had, like Jay Vogue mentioned before, rape and incest. Those should be automatic exceptions. Even now, post Roe v. Wade, that should be something that should always be an option, because I can't imagine a woman being raped. Just the trauma that you go through being raped. And then we'll just leave the incest for a minute. Just the trauma of being raped. And then you're traumatized by that you're going to take forever to get over, right?
Right, right.
And then she has to carry this child for 9 months. And again, I'm not a mom and I'm not a woman. Women feel different than men with that kind of emotional connections.
Yeah, it is emotional.
Right? And you're a mom.
Of course, I totally understand.
So then after you've been traumatized and now you're pregnant, you have to live through the 9 months, and this being, this person is being formed inside of your body.
I know.
Yet
like
they came from the genetics,
and
half of the genetics and genes came from somebody who's a vicious violator. How do you feel about that? You know, like what say you? I mean, if you don't want to give your opinion, I'm not saying begging you.
Well, I agree of saying, you know, it depends on the situation. Again, my body, my choice.
Right.
It's how strong that woman can take it.
But see,
you know what I mean? So like
if you look at that child, it looks like your offender though, when they grow up. Is that not additionally traumatizing?
In a way, it's kind of hard to tell but again, they're their own person. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I totally understand. Like usually they would look more like the dad, you know, the male gene.
I know, yeah, and exactly. And I know that a lot of women
I think for that decision...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. I think for that decision, if you don't want it, you should know right away. Because if it...
You should be practicing safe sex.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, there's a certain time limit, I would say, before it's too late. You know what I mean? You
can't let it just, like, fully grow. What is that called?
I don't know.
That pill?
The morning after pill.
Plan B is like basically taking a whole box of, basically it's taking a whole box, a whole package of birth control in one time. Because that's what I understand. It's basically just a high potency of birth control. And if you do it within 24 hours, so that, who knows? Are you terminating? I don't know. This is a great subject. We're not here to debate life. We could do that at any other time. Right. We're not here. We're just here. I put my lawyer hat on for a minute, and we're talking about the legality of it. Now
I'm
going normal.
There's so many options. I mean, it's up to the woman if she wants to give birth or not. Or there's always adoption. You know, like there's always a person that always wants to have a baby.
But you still haven't lived that 9 months out.
Right, right. But
now, incest,
like I said,
too.
It depends on how strong that woman is.
Now, what about incest?
It's life. Life starts, and everything happens for a reason.
Right.
And I don't agree with incest. I think that's
obviously. I hope you're not agreeing with
incest. No, of course. I'm just letting the audience know that, you know. But it's really an open question on.
Right.
I just got to say, my body, my choice. It's just really up to the woman of how strong she is and if she chooses to carry or not.
Right. And you know what's an interesting thing about that is that, people want to classify people based on a Republican and Democrat, that you automatically have every single belief of that party.
Everybody's not going to believe that platform. Yeah,
I hold no qualms and no, I don't, word of the day, I hold no qualms, I hold no, I don't, I pull the curtain back, I vote Republican, but it does not mean I believe in every single thing, and I that's one issue I would have never in my life believed, and I've been a professor for a number of years, and I've told students that, so they probably, if they actually listened in class, some of them, mm-hmm. saying, Sanati always said it would never happen, because I never believed anybody would overturn Roe v. Wade. I didn't believe any Republican would do that. I think that you would have been just left. But it happened. I was kind of shocked. But so many things in this our generations have changed. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. What say you, or Jay Vogue? Any opinion on this? Because you were very opinionated on the other show.
I believe what I mentioned in the other show was about the fact that I was... wanted to stay non-biased on a situation, mm-hmm. But I wanted to mention that, particularly here in the United States, what most states' laws have overturned is the no abortion without exception. And without exception, a lot of people hear these terminologies and don't really delve into what they
yes.
mean. They look at exceptions as like, is this some kind of little excuse, like why you don't have your homework today
that?
But without a section also means medical exception.
Right.
As
the child is going to die in the womb.
Which is something that's possible.
You get, like we were talking about, sepsis.
Yes, you could die of sepsis shock. Birth,
like how much more traumatic could that be?
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
That, I mean, I can't imagine that. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't imagine a woman having to maintain a pregnancy for a period of time
mm-hmm.
and then know that the child is not going to make it.
Yes.
What do? You just leave it, and then you don't even know when the child dies, and then you could go.
You just get sick.
Shock. I mean,
yeah.
It's just craziness.
And the thing is, when you're pregnant, you could get sick for a wealth of reasons.
Right.
A lot of women have temporary diabetes. You
right.
know that you get while you're pregnant.
Deficiencies, vitamin deficiencies,
all kind of things. You don't know if you're just going through pregnancy or something just died inside of you and now it's killing you. So, like, there are actual medical needs to abort. Abort is, like, a literal term.
Abort, right.
So to
abort the mission.
Yeah, right. So the only place I'm going to stand on is that I disagree with not being able to abort for medical reasons.
What about, I don't want to get too deep, and I don't want to see-hole into mm-hmm. here, but you know, it is a big deal. I guess that some people, yeah, Seahole, pull me out of the Seahole. It's a Fugazi. But really, I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting thing with that the French did this because I would like to see how that turns out. Mm-hmm. I'd like to read it. Again, this is from the news wire that we got this. And I have not gone back since I received it from the wire a little bit back. So things might be different from a couple hours ago. I haven't had the opportunity to reread. But I would like to see the finalized, whatever, however it turns out. But yeah, okay. So that is, you know, that was a pretty interesting conversation. We did it this morning. We're here again. Wow. If you have any comments on that, you could text the show. You could email us. All the information is on the ticker or the box, which I thought was over here, but it's actually in front of Miss Bianca.
Right in front of me.
Because in TV world, everything's reversed. So I'm looking at the green screen, and it's different than what you see. We got screens and cameras
right
everywhere,
here.
Folks.
It's right here.
I got a camera there, camera here, they're everywhere. So what do you see?
Right here.
It's right there. There it is. Right there on your screen, folks, if you're watching. Okay. Moving forward, we actually have somebody on the line. I'm going to give a little information. Let me pull it up here. We have a guest that I'd like to bring on the show. He's here. Let me give you a little bio about this gentleman. And we'll see what he has to say, because the next topic that we're going to get into will be something he'll know about. Okay. His name is Dave D. Emmons, E-M-M-O-N-S. He's born in the Midwest, from Illinois right now. I'm not exactly sure where in Illinois. He's a very intellectual individual, prior military, with high-level clearances. Is a published author, has experience in journalism, and has a lot to say. He does a podcast on YouTube and Facebook, etc. But we're taking him into the big leagues to have a conversation with him in a minute. And I'm going to talk about, he actually has some UFO, and you know we talk about, or actually UAPs. We talk about UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena, because you know the government has to rebrand all the time.
Yeah.
So it's the government's formerly known, like the artist formerly known. It's the UFO, formerly known as UFO, is now UAP. He has lots of experience with that, and I believe he has even more experience that would be enlightening to everybody. But I want to tell our next story, and then we're going to bring him in because he knows a little bit about this too.
Okay.
We were talking in our previous show, what's going on in Haiti right now, and it was kind of interesting how this came to play. We were talking about how the gangs, there's a major gang problem in Haiti.
Oh, wow.
And they have actually taken over or are attempting to control a very large area of the population and really are overrunning the capital. And it's a problem.
Always about territory.
Right. Hmm. Well, you're talking about lives now. We're talking about a lot of things. And what interests me on that is the government has to make a decision because the people are coming to a point where they are looking to potentially revolt against the government.
Oh.
Fight back against the government and say, hey, we are tired of this in our community, in our country.
Hmm.
So if they have an uprising, what does the government do? The government, now the gangs are going to, there's going to be a power vacuum, similar to like when the United States entered Iraq for the second time. And obviously, we took down Saddam Hussein, the president of Iraq. There was a power vacuum, which caused a ton of chaos for years.
Hmm.
You know, terror acts, etc. Not because they were anti-America. Let's be real, folks. It was some that were, but let's be real. People, there was a power vacuum. People wanted to take the power that Saddam had.
Wow.
We know that. That's the case. It's a power vacuum. This happens in a lot of places. But the interesting fact that I find to be fascinating is that if the government tries to do something to quell, word of the day too, if they try to quell the situation with either the people uprising against the government or the gangs fighting back, who do you go with and what's the government to do? And what I found to be interesting is look around the world. If you know anything, and that's where I believe Dave might be helpful to us here, that's why I wanted him to come onto the show, because this is something that many people know that the government does all the time. when, if you want to, you don't always want to fight a war one-on-one with people. You know, you don't want to attack countries, but if you could go in and mess with the infrastructure, which like we were talking about with the with Russia and the satellite and their nuclear capabilities to destroy a satellite, that is not really looking to drop a nuclear bomb on us, but that would destroy communications and could potentially destroy our infrastructure for a period of time. We would lose water and things of that nature. And as I've talked about, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Maslow being a theologist, a sociologist, and these are the things that we believe are important to us. Nature and love and caring, but food, water, and shelter are like number one.
Right.
You can be unloved, but if you got no food and no shelter and no water, it doesn't matter if somebody loves you or not. You're going to do anything you can do to get those resources. Mm-hmm. So I just ask, exactly, yeah. And I just ask myself, and everybody here, is this done? Is this a trial run? Is it because they are closer to us because Russia has like second rate garbage infrastructure. They have second rate garbage equipment. They're running jet fighter jets and things that we threw away 30, 40 years ago. They are operating on systems that are just, you know, they think it's great, and North Korea thinks it's great, but it's not anything to what we have. I mean, if anybody knows anything historically, and I don't want to go down a sea hole, but if anybody knows historically, there's a plane called the SR-71, Strategic Reconnaissance 71. It was built by Lockheed Martin, I believe maybe Boeing too, did some of it. It was officially titled Skunk Works. Oh. And that was the government's code name for it. And we believe, I don't want to put out any classified information, we believe that Skunk Works operated out of Nevada, the missile range, the Nellis Air Force Base missile range,
right,
which would be on Groom Lake, which is formerly a lake, aka people know this as Area 51. Mm. Or maybe not. I don't know.
I've heard.
But anyway, that airplane, that jet flew at 90,000 feet or more. That's from what they come. If your government tells you they got $10, they have $20. Just know that. We all know this. So if they're telling you this thing flies at 90,000 feet and it goes about 3,000 miles an hour, then it probably flies 85,000 feet, whatever I think is what they claim. It probably goes 100,000 feet and probably does 5,000 to 10,000 miles an hour instead of 3.
Whoa.
Because the government never is going to tell. And forget the citizens. You don't want our enemies to know the specifics of our technology. Right. But the point of where I'm going, because I'm not going into a sea hole. Folks, if you're paying attention to the show, I'm going to circle back. I'm going to get there.
Come back.
So this was way back during the Cold War.
Okay.
So if we had technology that was able to do that, you got to wonder where we are right now. And you got to wonder where we got that technology from, where we acquired it. But bringing it back to Haiti right now, we know for a fact that there are Chinese, there's some North Koreans. We know that there's Russians. We know that there's Iranians. They're not our friends. And we know that they're crossing the porous, unprotected border, military age men from countries other than countries like, you know, the Latin countries. We're talking people from across the world coming through that porous border that our government is not properly defending.
Right.
So you have to say to yourself, Haiti's not that far from the United States. Russia does not have ICBM, intercontinental ballistic capabilities, to be dropping anything like that on us. And if they did have anything to that aspect, we have far advanced technology to take it to know that it launched and to destroy it before it even left the airspace of whatever country it came from. Hmm. It would not come here. We are one of those countries that are well protected. We have oceans on either side. And we have friends on either side, or so we want to believe. Either way, it's very difficult to penetrate here. Whether or not you buy into the whole spy balloon garbage, I believe that we knew that that was coming for a long time. And I believe it was better to allow them to come in with their spy balloon and for us to see what they were going to do with it than to shoot it down before it got here.
It's like a child like touching something they're not supposed to, and they look at you and wonder isn't it what better you're going to react to.
You know? If you want to see what it is like, they no, have on this, on the, if you want to see what they have on this spy balloon, why would we shoot it down outside of our own airspace or our own waters at least, right? Why not let it get in so we can monitor what the communications are on it? Maybe we can even send false information as it's flying over things. We can maybe allow it that fault. You don't know. Who knows? There's conspiracy theories in every direction. But getting back to Haiti, we know that we have people that are not our friends in South America, Central America. We know this. Mm-hmm. We know that people are crossing the porous border. Everybody knows that your friend of your enemy of your enemy is your friend. So if we know that the best way to start a problem is to have the people fight themselves instead of you coming in and invading a country, especially it's a very difficult country to invade to begin with.
Right, right.
But if you create the nonsense in-house, like we were saying, by Russia knocking out a satellite, and we potentially would lose internet, navigation, communications, etc., then and maybe our even power and infrastructure, water filtration, etc., they wouldn't even need to bring a bomb in. We would fight ourselves, mm-hmm. right? It would be every man and woman for themselves, every family for themselves. That's why in America, folks, we have 2A, the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms.
Yeah.
Because you need to protect yourself from our own government becoming tyrannous and from if something were to happen that we can protect our families and ourselves. But I would like to really be interested to see how this plays out in Haiti, because is this a trial run? Is this something they're seeing how it works out? Is it practice to do an uprising? Because this is obviously now causing such a problem in Haiti that now the people want to uprise. The gangs are uprising. Mm-hmm. And so you literally have the people, the gangs, and the government. You have three separate entities now in one country. Who's going to win? And who's behind each entity? Who's behind the government? Is anybody actually working with them, funding them?
Maybe.
Who's working with the gangs? How are the gangs getting their money to operate? And what are the people going to do? Who's organizing the people to revolt and fight back? Who's doing that? This is something we would definitely want to find out about. I mean, we know historically this has been done mm-hmm. in other places. We know that the U.S. has done this. I said in a previous show, that when we had the first Iraq, the first Gulf War under George Bush Sr., we are able to cut the internet to a country. I mean, we cut the communications. They did that. We know this is a fact. They admit to this.
Right.
What they've done post, I don't know, but and I wouldn't say what I knew anyway, but they were able to cut the internet. I'm not going to say the manner, if there is, figure it out on your own. But there are ways that the government is able to do that right. without satellites, without anything else. He wants to say something?
I was going to say, don't say anything
I'm not going to say anything I don't want to say. But this is something that happens. And, you know, and that was able to make it better Saddam basically invaded Kuwait City. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kuwait asked on TV, please come and help us. So we went and helped. So my question is that Haiti hasn't asked for any help at this point, but we are the world superpower, And last time, mm-hmm. anytime we have been in, let's say, a hands-off, laid-back approach, things have not gone well. We know that we sat back and Mussolini did a lot of damage, right? Yeah. We know that we sat back and Hitler did a lot of damage. And we ultimately entered into a war over that. But also, and this is kind of like a twofold kind of thing here, because we did not engage until we were forced to engage. But who attacked us? Not Hitler, not Germany, but Japan. The enemy of your enemy is your friend. So Japan took that opportunity to come at us. So I have to ask, and I pose this to everybody, who is involved and when do we get involved and when don't we get involved? You know, it's just kind of craziness.
It's so hard to decide.
So I wanted to bring in a guest in a second, and I'll have him in a second.
Okay.
But he has some experience with this. He has some knowledge about how this occurs. Yeah, I believe he even wrote a book, and I'll let him talk about that.
Okay.
His name is Dave Emmons. Can we bring Dave in the line?
Ding dong.
Yeah. Ding dong.
Hello, this is Dave.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I've been listening to your energetic group there, and it's a good thing I worked out before I got involved in this group to get me all hyped up.
I told you, you'll like this show. And Dave, we're talking here because you have a lot going on, and we might see more of you in the near future. So why don't you give the group a little information about yourself, because I gave a little bit, but go a little bit more in depth.
Yes.
Okay. My background, I come from a large family, 11 kids. And of course, I grew up a rough way. But I went to school, performed well in school, was in the military, then top secret at Redstone Arsenal. Got out of it because I didn't like it. My grade point average was 89%. And I know I mentioned to you, Eric, that I probably wouldn't talk about, but I'll make that quick. I was the one who dropped out of it. And when I dropped out of it, my brother got orders. We went in a buddy plan. He got orders for Vietnam, and his wife was going to have a baby. And I said, I was single. I said, no, he's not going. So I sent my orders to his commanding officer, and I went to Vietnam for a year.
Good for you. Let me just say thank you for your service, Dave.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Well, thank you. Thank you also. And you. Before I got out, they was going to commission me a field commission as a lieutenant. So I liked the military. I mean, I've done well, but I wanted to get out of it. I didn't want to go back to Vietnam. But then I went playing music for 45 years, and I went to college at night. And I went to night school, and I worked, and I went to school, and I played music until I passed out one time, and I had to kind of slow down. But and I owned businesses in the past, managed businesses. I worked with the Red Cross and all this
very
other stuff.
Versatile,
I've had a
lot of resume here. For time constraints, because we're not a podcast, we're live TV radio, so we don't have extended time. You are listening to this particular conversation, and we had touched a couple of subjects that I know that you have some unique knowledge. Would you like to add to do that? I would like to have you on more, but I don't have enough time to get into everything with you, so I wanted to get this part.
Okay. All right. You were talking about Haiti. Now, doesn't that have a parallel of what's going on here in the U.S.? They broke out all the prisoners. There's convicts on the street. They give them weapons, and so they're fighting. And you ask, who's doing this? Well, I wouldn't put it past, I'm not going to name any names, I wouldn't put it past some of our people, these secret groups that could be involved, and the New World Order, okay? We all know the New World Order exists. We all know these 13 very rich families.
The Bilderberger groups, except by Bilderbergers, et cetera.
Yes, Rothschild.
Rothschild, Bilderberger, Bohemian Grove.
Yes. Yep. Right. Gotcha. They're funding all this, and they're actually practicing. And I heard you say it a while ago, they're practicing in Haiti. But didn't they practice somewhere in Puerto Rico or somewhere else where they were doing this?
How about Cuba?
Overthrow. Yeah, Cuba. We don't know much about, do we? There's a
I was talking about that the other day. Nobody actually talks about how we ended up in Guantanamo Bay. It's one of those things that you ask somebody and like, oh, we have a base there. Well, how did we get a base and we took half of a country and no one talks about it?
Yeah. I think that was a lease agreement they started with back in the late 40s. They wanted the naval base there. So they leased it, and somehow or another they bought it. And so they own that part of it. Yeah,
right.
That's how that all happened back in the early 50s.
Fascinating stuff. But
the world is like, we got people coming across the border. You mentioned that too. And a lot of these people are criminals. They're not just like, well, I have to mention Trump. He's just like you said, they're not sending their best people to us.
And you know what? And then we're doing catch and release. And they're saying, come back to court.
Right.
If you or I were arrested, we'd be in jail and have to pay bail to get out of jail to guarantee we would return to court, right or wrong? I mean, that's how it works.
Right. You're so right.
They bring them in. They've committed a crime. They entered in to our country, and it's criminal. And then they're just told, be back on such and such date for court. They've already committed a crime to come here. I don't think they're going to show up to court. How many actually show up and they release them? The rest of the American citizens go on bail. Go on bail. Or these other people I talked about, that they beat the cop down in New York. And then the guy gave the finger. He was released with no problem. On the way out, he threw the finger up.
Eric, something happened today in Texas, though. The Texas state Supreme Court, ruled that Texas can arrest these immigrants, illegal immigrants coming in, and detain them and then send them back.
I know, and the numbers have gone down drastically since that. And it was, they challenged it. You're right. And the Supreme Court there ruled that they can. I don't doubt that this will not find its way to the U.S. Supreme Court. But in the meantime, Eagle Pass et cetera, these other, some locations, the numbers are shifting. Texas is actually having less people come across because of that. But they're just finding new places to go, 89. Dave. You know that. They're finding new holes to go.
Right. Back in 89, I was working with the Red Cross. I was working with the refugees, the Central American refugees, that they had war there in Nicaragua and those places. So they seek asylum in our country. And we took care of them down in Brownsville, and I was one of them that managed the shelter, and so I know what that refugee thing is all about. And but they were legitimate. So they come in, they fill that papers.
They wait in camp until they're cleared.
That's right.
Yeah,
and until they had a place to go. But now they just let them go anywhere. They just want to go.
Which is insane. Forget where they want to go. They get free plane tickets. They get bus fare. And we talked about this on the show another time. We're aired 7 days a week, Dave, and twice on Monday. So we do a lot of shows. So I get confused what days we talked about what. But we've discussed that they get money. And the money they're getting was more than people that are here get for food stamps, which just blows my mind.
They're just giving out prepaid cards.
Yeah, free money. Free money. How much is it? You know the number?
$2,200
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, they get $2,200, I believe. Yeah,
Which is just and you got people here, homeless on the street without jobs, or people who have. I know somebody who got unemployment, legitimately got unemployment back in the COVID time, legitimately, not like fair is fair, and now he has been going back and forth with that. I'm not going to name the state. But going back and forth because they say he was overpaid. But he got his legitimate unemployment. He was legitimate and he didn't cheat. He didn't work anyway. He got what he deserved. He paid into it for a lifetime. He's an older gentleman like your age. So, he's not some young guy who's just starting out and, hey, you're scamming the system. We're talking about a guy who worked his whole life, paid into the system, and had to actually use it one time in his life. And they want him to pay money back, and they're trying to threaten to take him to court. We're talking a substantial amount of money,
right,
Dave.
Yeah.
$20,000+.
Well, you know about the VA.
The VA stuff.
VA.
Don't get me started on the VA.
VA budget to the illegal aliens.
They're veterans that are not getting. You are absolutely right. And then they were talking about lowering payments or reviewing people and considering. When you're total and permanent, that's it. That's supposed to be what it is. How can you go? How do you change the goal line halfway through the game? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Right. Can I mention something, Eric?
Absolutely.
I heard a couple of stories about this.
Remember, we're live. Hold on, Dave. We're live. So be very. Don't sandbag me and don't put me in a bad position. Put yourself in a bad position. We can't edit it out.
Okay, this is for educational or entertainment purposes only.
Of course it's educational and entertainment.
These people that are coming in military age, I heard they have credit cards, and they pay taxi cab drivers.
Have you seen? I also
don't know if I want to mention the argument.
Don't mention any of that. Our show is going to be down on the border. We're supposed to go already, but We had other things that we had to do, so we're still trying to schedule the time. We were going to go in December. So we're scheduling the time to sit on the border. But I do know what you're talking about because I have, and I have sources, and I have seen that they, and they dropped their identification, their IDs from all different countries.
Right.
And ICE and Border Patrol are finding these identification cards, and they're Chinese, they're in Arabic, they're in Korean, they're in everything really but Spanish. And if we really are concerned about helping people in these countries, the southern countries, then they, you would think they would be having some sort of Spanish identification. Why are they rolling in? Why are they throwing their IDs out when they get to the border? Why is Border Patrol picking up stacks of ID cards? Or are they real and they don't want us to know who they are? Because the other countries, they enforce their stuff. So they, you need to have an ID. They enforce their borders. But when they got here, throw it away. Who cares? Nobody cares who you are.
I know.
Speak of the language.
Yeah.
Right? And you throw it out.
We're not the only country with open borders. You got Europe. They're having problems with open borders and immigration. Ireland, you know, they're burning buildings down there. In Germany, they're protesting. And, you know,
even Egypt. Egypt is having issues.
Right. Right.
Well, then you get into the whole Israeli conflict. You got everybody in that region having issues right now.
Egypt is very tight.
Yeah. So tell us, you knew a little bit more about the cabal and the way, you and I chatted prior. So I would never sandbag you, obviously, on a stupid question. So I'm going to ask basically what we discussed before about how the government operates and what is in the FM field manual for disruption. And we're not talking classified stuff. We're just talking stuff that you could find. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Okay. There's some evidence of the cabal at its best. Kerry Lake had a conversation with a Republican in charge of Arizona Republican Party. He called up Kerry Lake and he offered her $12 million not to run for Senate. This story was out in the open on the internet, and it showed Kerry Lake talking to somebody on the phone, and she recorded the whole thing. And this has been quite obvious. It's out there in the news, so I'm going to talk about it. And this guy, who was a Republican leader of Arizona, he told Kerry Lake that he works for some powerful people. And she laughed and said, no, I'm not going to give up my country for money. And then he said, how about $20 million? And she said, where are you getting this money? He said, I can't say. He said, I got handlers who are rich. And he quit his job 2 weeks later.
That's
the cabal, the rich people. Like say Soros. Look at Soros. He's paying DAs and everything.
George Soros, let me throw a caveat in there. Hold on, Dave. Just for the folks that are with the show and are not aware, would you tell our listeners and viewers, because there are quite a few, just briefly, if they're not aware of who George Soros is, just in like three sentences, who he is? Would you like to do that, Dave?
Well, George Soros, he has his home in a couple of different countries in Eastern Europe. And he's a multi-billionaire. Of course, he doesn't have as much money as Elon Musk or anything, but he has enough money to pay, I guess he's going for liberal DAs and state
liberal.
Leaders.
You mean
he's
bleeding liberal. Money. Bleeding liberal, Dave. Way left.
Yes.
Yeah, left of left.
He's dishing out money funding these people.
Billions
and
of dollars.
He's got a liberal agenda and a New World Order agenda.
And he's been quoted in speeches about literally the New World Order and doing exactly what's going on in Haiti. We've been hearing this for years.
His son.
We've been hearing this for years. I want to get you on our other show, and I'll talk to you after on the line on that after the show. But I'm not kicking you off now. I need to have Bianca sing a song. So can you just mute for a second and hang out for a song?
Absolutely.
And then I'll get back to you.
Okay.
You get to enjoy the lovely voice of Miss Bianca C.
Yes, definitely.
What are we singing, Miss Bianca?
Let's see. Some Spice Girls.
Spice Girls. All right. Who doesn't love themselves a little Spice Girls? All right. Hook it up.
I love it.
All right.
All right. I'm going to play it.
Here we go. Spice it up. Thank you. Wonderful, thank you. Wonderful.
Yes. My gay little heart. Thank you for Spice Girls.
Right? Oh, yeah. Are you still there, Dave?
Yes, I'm still here. Yeah, that was a nice song. I really liked it.
Thank you.
That's a good voice.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So, Dave, I wanted to ask you, too, and I'm gonna invite you back to my other network tomorrow. But I want to ask you here on this one today, for the live audience, you have an interesting, idea and concepts and experience with UAPs or UAP formerly known as UFO. Would you like to, give a little information on that? Cause it's something we talk about pretty often on here.
Right. Well, I wrote a book, What Do They Want? And I've been all my life, since I was 13 years of age, I've seen 6 up-close UFOs. I've met 3 ETs face-to-face, and I met several more in very lucid dreams that I regressed. And I know a little bit about this, what's going on, and I've had implants in my body. I've dug out 2 of them. And I still have one, I think, in my thumb, yes. It hasn't been taken out.
What did you do with the ones that you say you took out?
Okay, the one I took out when I was 14 years of age, I took it out of my testicle, and there was a red line cut in my testicle. And I looked at it, and there was a little nodule, and I pushed that nodule out of that red line, in which now I know is a laser cut. So I pushed it out. There was no blood. It didn't bleed. And it looked like the size of an Advil tablet. And it actually was ash color, and the longer I had it out in the air, it started turning brown. I showed it to my mom, and she says, "What is that?" And I said, "It come out of my testicle." I had better words for it than when I was a young
kid. I'm sure you used another word,
She said, "No, that's just an ingrown hair." I said, "No, mom." I said, "It had a red line cut about an inch long." And I said, "I popped it back out of that red line. And then she stopped and she froze. She didn't know what to say. And then she said, throw it away anyway. So that, but in 2011, I actually had, in 2011, I had one in my leg, my left leg, and I saw a little round red hole. And then I kind of squeezed on it. It popped out, and a little chunk of like charcoal looking stuff, about a quarter of an inch or so long, quarter of an inch or so wide. And it looked like charcoal. I put it underneath a microscope, and the microscope showed like little brain neurons, like little octopi that was crawling around it. And I showed it to a supervisor.
Hey, what did you do with this? What did you do with it?
I kept it in a bag, and I showed it to people. I showed it to a biologist in St. Louis, and she was a supervisor in the hospital. She looked at it. She said, I've never seen anything like that in my life. And she said, that's terrible looking. And so I took pictures of it. I got a bunch of pictures of it that I took through my microscope. And
do you still have pictures?
Yeah.
You have our hostile zone at bbstalkradio.com. You have that email. Would you be so kind as to send pictures?
Yeah.
And when we have you on, I can have them displayed?
Well, yeah, I can send you as many pictures you want. I got
send them over. Because I'm going
to
have you on again.
Yeah,
we definitely want to see it. I'm not doubting you by any means. I would not. I brought you on the show. I know a lot about you, and I believe you. I believe you're credible.
I
don't believe you're a liar.
It
and
I
don't doubt that you had men in black suits at your door probably all the time, and probably after this show you will tonight.
Yeah, I probably will. No, I do have. Yeah. I did have a stalker here about a week and a half ago that kind of scared me. He followed me and everything, and I. But also my computer gets wrecked every once in a while, and they're looking for information. And I don't want to talk about the organizations, but I do know, particularly who they are, but I just can't name them out here.
I think we all know who they are, Dave.
Yeah.
I think we all know who they are.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a new congressional office, and there's an office in NASA to oversee the UAPs, but they're not talking about that yet. We pay for it.
Yeah, right.
It's a tax-funded office that we don't know about.
Yeah, if you're a targeted individual, an influencer, they're going to follow you.
Of course. Yeah, right. If people have to hear what you have to say, they're going to, and you know, they're going to make up lies. They're going to do everything to destroy your credibility.
Yeah,
I mean, this is FM, field manual, is the military term or a government term, the field manual, and then usually FM dash and a number, you know, Dave. But for our audience, this is textbook way to ensure of disinformation. You destroy the source of information. So this way nobody will believe that individual by providing other information out there to destroy their credibility that has nothing to do of what they're saying. Mm-hmm. You look for other ways to destroy them. So then whatever they do say in the future, they can say, well, look what they've said in the past or they've done, which, you know, this is textbook. This is what we do in every country too. I mean, come on, you know that. I know that.
Right. You have a lot of ufologists that are playing both sides of the coin, also.
Right.
I gotta say, like little by little, the
are you a MUFON member?
Is taking out a lot of information, sort of like that for
UFOs things disappear
being spotted, and it's
right.
Little by little.
Here's the thing with UFOs. I don't know where we are on time, but I hope we can run a few minutes more. I'm really thinking we're going to get good on this. You know, Dave, I'm glad that we connected because there is so much. There's so much that I just want to talk about with this UAP stuff. It just blows my mind. And I think some of it, though, I do want to say, yeah, we're not conspiracy theorists. I've been on the air here. We're on 7 days, twice on Monday. Mm-hmm. Check any show. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. I read about Dave's stuff. We looked at his books. We vetted him before he's here. Mm-hmm. He's a credible person. That's why I want to talk about this. But here's the one thing I want to say, and then I'm going to give it the floor to you because you are the UAP expert. But technology has changed, Dave. So we are able to have better cameras and better equipment. Now, is that the reason why we're seeing things more now? Because we can record it and everybody's walking around with a camera and a video? Or is it because more things are happening, Dave?
You're seeing more UAPs. I don't like the UAPs. That was a government
I like UFO.
Way of...
Yeah, that's different.
UFO is... Yeah. Yeah, but I like to say, Dave, it's
the same sandwich meat, but two pieces of bread to make it fresh again. It's the same rebanding. It's the same piece of crap in the middle of two pieces of stale bread. That's what they do. That's what they do. Just Google me. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. It never happened.
So you're talking about...
Go ahead, Dave. I don't want to cut him off.
Though, but it's important or not important?
We're not talking about gabagool. No gabagool. Go ahead, Dave.
We're seeing more UFOs because we have chaos here on this planet. And the UFOs and ETs keep up with it. Matter of fact, they're walking amongst us. I believe it. And they pay attention.
They always show up where we have nuclear stuff. You notice? Right, Dave?
Well, yeah, they do. But also with chaos, they watch us in all wars. Actually, in Vietnam, there was a lot of sightings in Vietnam during the war. I didn't see any, but a lot of guys did. They saw UFOs over in Vietnam. They watched our wars.
I love to talk to you about that offline too, about more about things. Yeah. But I mean, so tell me what you about the ET. And when they say ET, let's not think of the movie. But here's another thing. And Dave, I'm sure you're aware of this. You know that Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when that came out a long time ago, then we know that Hollywood works with the government. Obviously, we got the hostages out of Iran with using fake Hollywood. So we know that they do this. I mean, the movie Argon, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know this. We know this is done. Right. We know that it is misinformation, disinformation, or whatever. So there are people from that are saying that actually is based on some reality. Would you have any information on that? You would like to add?
Yes. Spielberg, whenever you get really rich and famous and popular, well, actually, the military will shoulder up with you and give you some ideas, but they'll tell you the limit of what they want them to show. But what they did was Spielberg got the idea of what they looked like when they made the movies of a phone home ET, whatever, and that was taken from a real looking ET, and
that's what I was thinking.
People showing them, yes, right. They have. All you got to do is be a billionaire, and then they'll shoulder up to you, Eric.
Right, of course.
These big producers, but they give you limits. They'll tell you no, you don't go there, you don't go here, or we'll shut your show down. I've heard guys
tell me about that. And ancient aliens, or your stuff gets deleted.
Ancient aliens the same way.
Yeah, or they put up stories that are nonsense that you can never get taken down. I know, for instance, that. They pay click bots in China and other places to just over click on certain news stories and certain, you're talking little news agencies that no one's even heard of. Why are they popping up on high ranking all the time? Well, I know that we paid somebody to investigate that on one particular incident. We paid a high end tech company a lot of money to find this, and we were able to locate a whole building of chatbots that were botting. Specific websites,
you know,
Google ratings.
I don't believe in Google.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Because Google,
we don't believe
likes
Google.
To a control of what you would like to see.
I tell
right
people,
away,
do your own
right?
research, like follow it. But you know, we're on a hard time crunch, Dave. So I'm going to reach out to you after the show. I want to get you back on.
Okay.
A couple more times. I thank you very much for coming on, Dave. I really do. You have a final note,
One more note.
One minute, not even, because they're going to kill me.
Okay, Alex Soros is 37 years old. He took over a $25 billion empire. So they got a lot more money to give.
Right. You're very right. All right, Dave, I'm gonna let you go. I'm going to call you back in a few minutes after the show to set up for the next one. But I thank you very much for coming up, right?
Yeah, thank you so much for coming.
Right, guys? We appreciate it. Dave, we'll get back to you. Miss Bianca? All right, Dave, pleasure. So, folks, that was a great conversation, and it was a great show. We're going to talk a little bit more next week on some more stuff on BBS, but you can follow me tonight on KKTC. If you need the information, you can go to any of my social media. The Hostile Zone everywhere. You can check us out on any there. You can find the version of that if you don't have access to that station. You can get it from us. But we thank you, honestly. Thank you to BBS for letting us run over on time a little bit because we had such a great topic. Thank you, Don, and everybody there. Much appreciated. And Miss Bianca, how do we show our pride and love for our country?
Absolutely, by singing the national anthem. A cappella,
no. Okay, no, not a cappella. We tried. All right.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars
not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner wave. Oh, the land of the free and the home of the
Miss Bianca, you like literally make a new country every time you sing that. So as I say every day, folks, thank you very much on BBS or any of my other networks that are on 7 days a week, twice Monday, 7 days. I thank you. We are nobody. I am nobody without you. We are nobody without you. We thank you for allowing us in your home, on your earbuds, in your car, wherever you're enjoying us. Go back and check all of us out. For the price of a cup of coffee, less than that, you can be a VIP concierge membership to the Hostile Zone, and we help people. That's a fact. So, Miss Bianca, I'm going to tell everybody, look in the mirror in the morning and say, you know what? I love the person that I am, but I can be better. And be better that day. Find something to be better, and then share that with somebody else. Because you know what? That's our job as Americans and as human beings, to love one another, and to be the best person we could be, regardless of the hands you were dealt. Miss Bianca, how do we end the show?
Use your voice, Sonata hears you. Use your voice, let it be heard. Use your voice, Sonata hears you. Use your voice. Use your voice, Sonata heard you. Use your voice, let it be heard. Use your voice, Sonata heard you. Use your voice.
That's right. Sonata heard you. I hear you every day. I'll hear you again tomorrow on any other network. I'll hear you again next week on BBC. And I'm sure the men in black suits will hear everybody after this conversation.